Again, it's wonderful to see everybody. It's always good to come together to worship. I hope that all have been encouraged as we've gone throughout our worship so far. Everybody has been edified and encouraged as we've sung praises to God, as we went and took the time to remember the sacrifice that Christ has made for us. So much that he has done for us and given to us as we continue our lives upon this earth. We live from day to day. There are many things in which we prioritize in our life. And we have goals that we set up for ourselves, for our family, for our children. And they are things in which we are willing to work for. Or they are matters in which we are willing to do a lot of work and fight for and do put a lot of effort into it. Baseball has ended for the boys at this time and point for the season. But something I try to tell Josiah, he's at that age where they started doing pitching. The kids actually pitch, no longer coach pitch or machine pitch. The kids are pitching to one another. Josiah got to pitch a few games. And I told him it's something that he really likes to do, something he really wants to do, then he has to be willing to go out there himself and and throw the ball and practice pitching. It's something that he has to decide himself if he wants to do. Whether or not I'm home or I'm encouraging him to get out there and do it, it always helps to have someone to push you, to encourage you. But overall, it has to be his decision. That's what I told him when I was younger and the time I played. I think I played up to fifth grade in baseball. But I desired to do good at what I was doing, tied a tire to a swing or to a branch or something. I can't remember what I tied it to, but I tied up a tire and I practiced throwing a ball through the tire probably every day. I'd go out there and throw it. That was my desire and goal, was to be the pitcher. I wanted to do that. Same thing for those who enjoy hunting. I enjoy archery hunting, bow hunting. And with bow hunting, I have to get out there and be willing. I don't shoot my bow quite as enough as I'd like to claim that I love to hunt, to make sure that I'm going to shoot something if I get the opportunity to do so. But if you want to be good at it, it's something you have to be willing to go out and do. That's we've got one here that is in band, Mary, and I know she's continuously at practice, not willing to miss the practice. It's something they're doing over fall break. It's something that they had to do all summer. And they put in the work. It's something that they have a desire and willing to fight for, something they enjoy. As Christians, there should be something that we want to fight for, something we should be willing to put in the effort and continue every day to study the Word of God, to pray to our Lord, to go out to teach to others. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning, is that is worth fighting for. And start off with it, I just want to point out that there are scriptures throughout the Word of God that show us that we should be fighting spiritually. We should be out there fighting a good fight, and that we should be willing to do it and willing to go out and work for our salvation and do work in the kingdom of God. Start off with in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, if you open up your Bibles and follow along, 2 Timothy chapter 4. And looking here in verse 7, as Paul is making the claim for himself, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And so Paul here, he brings out, I have fought the good fight. He has finished the race. He brings out this point of fighting that he brings out in the scriptures here, telling us that it's worth fighting for. And he tells us there that it's worth fighting for that crown of righteousness. He's willing to fight for it. He has fought for it. He has finished his fight. He has finished the race. And he's urging Timothy to do the same thing. As you go back to the beginning of the chapter, and in verse 1, he says, I charge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who is judge of the living and the dead, by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. This is his fighting. It's not a physical fight that he's talking about here. He's talking about going and spreading the word of God, being willing to stand up for the truth, willing to search the scriptures, willing to teach it to others, willing to stand against false teachers. He says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort it with complete patience and teaching. Because the time is coming when people will not endure the teaching, and having itching ears will accumulate for themselves teachers to their suit and own passion, and will turn from the listening to the truth and wander off into mist. As for you, though, as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. And then he goes into this point, I've already been poured out a drink offering. He's already fought the good fight. Paul is at the end of his journey. Paul is at the finish line of his race. And so that here he comes to Timothy and he says, Timothy, you have to continue on though. This is the beginning of your race. You are still there. You still have a lot of fighting in you. You have to continue until the Lord has set that day aside for you. You must continue to fight the good fight. You must continue to show others that you have loved the appearing of Christ, that you love the message of the Lord. We have to be willing to fight. And same thing to Timothy here in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. Here it tells Timothy, he says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who has the testimony before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Fight the good fight. We too often, and again, it's not that it is the false teaching, not that we're getting off on the wrong spot, but if we focus on only the part that there is peace with God, yes, there is. There should be peace. You should feel a peace when you obey the gospel, that your sins have been washed away. And we should feel hope and joy knowing that there is a home and a room in heaven waiting for us. But there's also something that should be inside of us that should be firing us up to go and fight the good fight. To keep that hope. To keep that joy. Knowing that there is a room waiting for you in heaven. And so here he tells Timothy, fight the good fight. Just as we need to be willing to do so. We need to be willing to fight that good fight. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And reading here. And in verse 24, it says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Here he says, everybody runs and they all compete to get that prize. But in the end, there's only one grand prize. One overall winner. But again, we all have our different goals. Just as we are starting in the classroom with the young adults there, where we're talking about the body of Christ and working with one another. And so this morning we talked about how we are all different members and we have different functions. And so we also have different goals in our physical life. We all should have one goal of getting to heaven. We all have different things that we are fighting for as we live our lives here on earth. That I'm willing to sit out in the woods to try to get a nice trophy deer, or even to just get some meat. Really enjoy the good thin sliced steaks that we got from the last one we got last year. And so there's a reason that I'm willing to go do that. I'm willing to go and sit out there. I'm willing to sit in the cold. I'm willing to sit in the rain to go and hunt. But also, a lot of people probably said, no, not willing to do it. That's not what you're worth fighting for. That's not what your goal is. You don't have any desire for that. But others, like my wife, she enjoys running. She loves to run. I know Kim enjoyed and loved running when she could and gets out and rides on her bike. And just that's the they have goals. They have, it's just something that they enjoy, so that's what they're fighting for. Some people do it because of weight, and that's what they are worth fighting for. Some do it just to stay in shape and make themselves feel good, and that's worth fighting for. We get up and we go to work, and you work so that you can have money, so that you can have insurance, so that you can pay your bills, so that you can have food on the table. It's worth fighting for. There's a prize at the end of things that we do here on earth. And so as he goes into that point, we have a reason that we are fighting. You pick up in verse 25, it says, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we for an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. You have your reasons here on earth for the things that you do. But in all the things we do here on earth, for the things that we gain that are physical, for the earthly pleasures, earthly things we have, it's all going to perish. Whether it's to keep ourselves healthy, well, this body's eventually going to perish. We are going to be changed in that day of judgment. This foreign body that is decaying and growing older, and each day it's going to perish. It has to be changed. It won't last for eternity. God's going to change it. Whether I look the same or not, I don't know. But what we're fighting for spiritually, what we should be doing every day in our lives to make sure that we are on the right path, to make sure that we have no sin that is on our shoulders, that we've gone to God and sought His forgiveness, that we've repented and turned the other direction, is for something that will last for eternity, forever. And so, therefore, it's worth fighting for. And so I want to bring out a few things that are worth fighting for to push in this direction of getting to heaven, of that imperishable crown or wreath, depending on your translation. What's worth fighting for? First thing I want to talk about is our enemies. It's not something we might say they're worth fighting, but are they worth fighting for? Our enemies are worth fighting for, to try to help them to see the truth and turn to God. Matthew chapter 5. You read along with me here, starting in verse 43. It says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who are in heaven. For He makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends the rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." He says to love them, to pray for them, to bless them, and to remember that it's worth fighting for your enemies, because that's what God has done. As you go to Romans chapter 5 and you read there in verse 8, it tells us, God loves us, right? That's what it's talking about. But what does it make the point? It says, "And that He showed it because He died for us while we were still in sin." While we were still sinners, Christ died for us, demonstrating His love. Guess what? That means when we were sinners, aka when we were enemies of the Lord, we were against Him. As we would read in James 4 and verse 4, "Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." When we are in sin, we are turning away from God. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God thought it worthy to fight to save you while we were against Him. It's worth fighting for our enemies. It's worth fighting for your neighbor. We look to Luke 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. Luke chapter 10, starting here in verse 25, it says, "And behold, a lawyer stood up, put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?' And he said to him, 'What is written in the law? And how do you read it?' And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and with all, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to them, 'You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live.'" Of course, he wanted to justify himself, and so he goes further to ask, "Who is my neighbor?" And so we gain the parable of the Good Samaritan here. And so here, Jesus in verse 30 replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place, saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. And when he went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine, then he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, took care of him. And the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave it to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.'" And again, here's a story of going back to our last point of loving your enemy, because in reality, in the time frame, and a matter of what people would say according to culture and race, these guys weren't supposed to get along. These two weren't supposed to be friends. They weren't neighbors they were supposed to be in. But he makes the point of, well, everybody's your neighbor. The neighbor is the one that you're going to show kindness to, that you're going to assist, that you're going to help, that you're going to treat as yourself. And so it's worth fighting for. Is it worth fighting for the world? For your neighbor, for those who are literally your neighbors, those who live beside you, for those who you go to school with, for those who you go to work with, for those who you pass by and set an example just as you go into the grocery store. It's worth fighting for. They are worth fighting for. Just help them and show them and guide them in the right direction. To be ready always to give a defense for your hope, and when someone might see you do a good deed and they come and ask you why, you might be able to point them to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They are worth fighting for. Your family is worth fighting for. Your family is worth fighting for. We open up our Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, and we know here it reads through and talks to wives and husbands. In verse 22 it says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word." Again, as you read through this and you read through the rest of the chapter of husbands and wives working together, worth fighting for. Worth fighting. To submit and to serve and to help your husbands, to be that helpmate that we read all the way back in Genesis as God created Eve. And husbands leading your wives and helping them and loving them as Christ loved the church, that he presented the church without blemish. To do everything you can to treat your wife as God has treated the church. Again, what is worth fighting for? We would look to in the book of Corinthians and see there that even if you have a non-member spouse, that if you're willing to live with them, that you do so in hopes that maybe through your good conduct, through your faith, that you might be able to win them. Worth fighting for. Word of God shows us time and again what is worth fighting for. You get down to chapter 6, and here talking about children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. It's worth sitting down and trying to teach. It's worth to bring your children into worship and let them get in the habit of sitting down and listening to the songs and learning the songs and going to class and learning in there. You know, I've heard many that they come up to that question once they first have children of, well, is it worth bringing them to worship?
You know, again, I know many times when the kids were little, and I can still ask Casey today, how much did you hear of my lesson today? Because I will. I'll be like, hey, how did this point come across? You know, did it sound good? Did it come across okay? And try to get some feedback. But with these little ones here, she still doesn't get everything as much as she would want. But it's worth it. It's worth to continue to bring them because they need to learn. They need to know that as they get older, they'll understand what they're supposed to do. And they will hear these songs and they will hear the lessons and eventually they'll ask the questions. The Lord willing, they'll obey the gospel. It's worth fighting for. It's worth going through for. It's worth fighting for our brothers and sisters in Christ. For one another, worth being here for each other. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2 says, do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters in all purity. We are supposed to be a family. We look up to the older men as fathers and older women as mothers, that we look to those everyone else as our brothers and sisters in Christ. We have respect for one another. We're there to assist one another, to help each other, always there, knowing we can rely on one another, that we can confess our trespasses to each other. That as we go to Galatians chapter 6, where it tells us to do good unto all, especially the household of sin. Especially our brothers and sisters in Christ, that we're supposed to definitely be there for each other. Again, as we talk about church discipline in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15, that if a brother sins against you, to go and tell him his fault. If he hears you, you gain a brother. You gain them back. So it's worth fighting for. It's worth being here and to stir up love and good works. It's worth reaching out to each other and being hospitable and being there for each other. It's worth rebuking someone and maybe stirring up some conflict and maybe not having them being happy with what you said. But if you gain your brother, if you keep them from sinning or you bring them back from sin, then it's worth many things spiritually that are worth fighting for. We need to remember that we are worth fighting. That if your life, your soul is worth fighting for. It's worth for you to continue to study the Word of God. It's worth you to continue to pray and continue to show up and worship and take the Lord's Supper. We might sit back and say, I don't know, I keep slipping back into sin. I don't know, I keep having bad thoughts. I don't know, I keep going down this wrong direction. But understand, God says you are worth fighting for. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 12 here, Matthew 18 and verse 12, it says, what do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountain and go and search for the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So is it not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish? Again, here, we're worth it. It says if one of you, if you go astray, He is willing to go and search for you and to bring you back. And when you do obey the gospel, he rejoiced. He rejoiced greatly. More than those who are already in the flock. The herd, whatever you call sheep. You're worth fighting for. Remember, Jesus died so that your sins could be washed away. So that you could have a home in heaven. You are worth fighting for. As we brought out through the verses earlier, as Paul made mention of fighting and racing and running, he speaks of that home in heaven. He speaks of that imperishable crown. So it's worth fighting for to get to heaven. We turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I'm reading here in verses 1 through 3. John 14, starting and in verse 1, it says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If there were not so, would I have told you that? I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." I know he's speaking to his disciples that are right there as we're reading the words of our Lord and Savior. We know that we have a relationship with our Lord also. We can read those words and imagine Jesus speaking to you right here. Jesus says, "I go to prepare a room for you." You ever talk to somebody wherever you're traveling, you're heading that way, "Hey, we'll have a room ready." They got a place reserved for you. They got a room made up for you. They cleaned it because you were coming. Jesus is preparing a room for you. And guess what? He's not waiting for you to come there. He says, "And if I prepare for a room for you, I will come back to get you." He's coming back to receive us up. As he returns and his angels and the harvest time comes, he comes back to receive us. Recently went through Revelation 21 and read some of those verses there that what heaven might be like. Heaven is worth fighting for. Not going to hell is worth fighting for. I got one final point for this morning. A simple point that God in Christ is worth fighting for. It's worth fighting for. They're worth fighting for. Sit back and some question their service. To whom do they serve? They serve our president. They serve a king. They serve a nation. They serve... Who do they serve? Who are they fighting for? Serving in the Lord's kingdom is worth serving. Being a soldier of Christ is worth fighting for. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, we have to remember again as we consider that we are fighting, that we are soldiers of Christ, that we are soldiers of the Lord. 2 Timothy 2. And reading here in verse 3, it says, "Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him." And again, it goes into, "An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is hard-working farmer who ought to have the first to share in the crops." Continues on the point of working. It continues on the point of continuing by the rules that God has given to us and being soldiers of Christ and fighting. We think about who our Lord is and what he has done for us and what he is preparing for us. He is worth fighting for. He is worth following. He's shown us how we should live our lives upon this earth. He's shown us how we're supposed to go and fight the good fight. And he is the perfect king for us. Again, as we go back to Jesus, sweetest name of all. He is Lord of lords, King of kings. And he is worth fighting for.
he's worth putting on that armor of God and living a faithful life in his service so that we too can receive that crown of life. I wish not to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this morning to any who have been struggling, fighting, have grown weak and need the prayers of the congregation or need to set time aside to have some more studying and listening to the Word of God and reading so that their strength can be built up so that you are ready to go and fight the good fight. We extend that opportunity, but let it be known. Let us assist you in any way in which we can help. But to any who need to obey the gospel and list himself to be a soldier of Christ, if there's anything we can do, we let it be known. We stand in the same.